want to thank CPR CNA 3031 for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope here at Ocean City. So first I want to tell y'all how I got asked to share. I called Evada, and I don't even see her sitting out here. I called her on the phone, and I was on my way home from work. We was just talking normally. Then at the end of the conversation, she said, can you share Ocean City? And because it has always been told to me that when somebody asks me to share, to say yeah, even though the inside of me want to say no. And so I said yeah, and I hung up the phone, and I'm driving home, and all of a sudden, it hit me, and something said, you should have told her no. Why would you say that to her, you know? So from that point on, all the way up until today, I've been in my head thinking about, what are you going to share about? How many people going to be in there? And so as it got close to the time for me to come to share, what I realized that step three is one of the steps that I love, because it talks about my higher power. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. So my story is that I used like everybody else, and my life was unmanageable. And I didn't understand how I couldn't stop using. I could stop for months at a time, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, and then I'll get that urge and there I go again. I knew my life was unmanageable because I no longer could stay home. I could no longer cook for the kids. They was getting on my nerves, and I couldn't stay at work, because I would get up and go to work, and my thinking would be that, you know, once I get there and when I leave work, then I can go get what it is that I use and then go home. But once I got in the car, it kind of like took me to where I wanted to go at after I got off from work, and then I get stuck. And I'll be there for several days, and I'm gonna share this story with you all. I remember my thinking was, so this time I'm gonna get off from work, I'm gonna go to the grocery store first, because I always try to go and get my drug of choice first before I go to the grocery store, but I never make it to the grocery store. So this time I'm going to go to the grocery store first and get the food, right? And I'm going to have it in a car, and I'm going to go and I'm going to get what it is that I, you know, and then I'm going to go home. And I did. I went to the grocery store, and I had a car full of food, and I stopped to pick up my drug of choice, and I could not get out of that house. The fifth day when I left to go get in the car, it dawned on me that I had bought ice cream. And this was a vicious cycle for a while, I mean, for a long time. And I remember crying one day because I had money and I was going to make that phone call to get my drug of choice. And as I was going to the phone, I was crying and praying and asking God to help me to not to go to that phone and make that call. But of course I did, and I made the call. And I recognized long before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, long before I knew what Narcotics Anonymous was, long before I knew there was a Narcotics Anonymous, that my life was unmanageable. But how do I get off of that vicious cycle, that merry-go-round? It just keep going around and around, you know, and I keep trying to get off, and something keeps pulling me back. Ooh, and I remember I grew up being the only girl, and I have all brothers. and the baby. And I was raised early on by my grandmother, and she was a praying woman. You know, she'd be in the kitchen cooking dinner. She's sweating, because I don't even know if they had air conditioners then. And she would be in that kitchen, and she'd be sweating, and she'd be cooking, and she'd be just singing hymns. And I'd be sitting on the floor in front of the TV with my legs crossed like an Indian, looking at dark shadows. Do y'all remember that? Woo, until one day when I was sitting near the curtain, because in my grandmother's house, it used to be, it's the living room, and then it was the kitchen, and then if you go around this way, it's a little wall that you go through the bedroom and through the bathroom. And she had this little curtain hanging up there, right? And I remember sitting there looking at dark shadows, and all of a sudden that curtain flew open, and I got up off that floor. I remember all of the little things my grandmother used to tell me, you know, about my higher power. And I hear people in the rooms talking about, you know, their parents used to tell them that God was this person was going to strike them down because they was bad. But I didn't hear that. When I grew up, I didn't hear that. I always heard that that was somebody that I could go through when something was going on with me, or somebody that I could talk to when I couldn't talk to, you know, my family. I always heard that my higher power, as I choose to call God, that I was a person that could save me. You know what I'm saying? But I was a little girl at the time, so I didn't understand any of that she was telling me. But what I realized later on was that was the seed being planted. Because in my weakest point of my using, I remember calling out to him. But I remember calling out to him a lot of times. But what I understood is that I needed to surrender. I needed to say, okay, this is it. And the third step, it talks about making a decision. A decision implies action. So that means that if I make a decision that I'm going to stop using, I need to do something after I make that decision. And so what I did was I allowed God to, in all of the times that I try to do it by myself, I can do this, because before I started using, I could do it until I started using. So I remember the stories that my grandmother used to talk to me about. And I'm a cry, so it's okay. Don't bring me no tissue or none of that. Because what I heard was crying is a healing. So I need to heal, okay? So don't get up. Don't bring me no tissue. That gets on my nerves when I hear people. And I'm in a meeting and people sharing and then they crying. And then somebody get up and then they all in front of them trying to get them tissue. So now I know me. I can't remember what it was I was talking about. You know. So all of the things that my grandmother used to tell me about when I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, and I got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through treatment, I didn't know there was any treatment facilities, but my life was so unmanageable. Somebody suggested that we're going to look in the Yellow Pages and we're going to send you to treatment. And I decided that I was going to go to treatment, because they said that if I go to treatment, it's going to be better. And so if I change, if I could stop using, then they wouldn't treat me the way they was treating me. But what I found out is that it didn't have anything to do with them, because they're going to be exactly who they are. I was reading step 3, and it said something about it's a change that has to be made. And it talks about something. I should have brought my book, because I know I can't remember stuff. Something about resolution. And so I looked it up. And it said something about changing something or someone. It said something about reorganization. So when I make a decision that I'm going to allow my higher power to take over my life. And I mean every area in my life, not with just a relationship. That wasn't a relationship. But not with just whatever was going on when I was with that person, it's going to change every area of my life. My thinking, because what I found out was that my thinking is what got me here. Whew. So what I do today is that, because even though I allow my higher power to work in my life, and I wasn't able to get clean and stay clean until I allowed him, until I surrendered and said, okay, Lord, I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want from me, but whatever it is, I'm right here and I'm going to allow you to use me and to do what it is that you need me to do. Because I want to stop using. I was tired of going to the grocery store, buying food and leaving it in the car. I was tired of getting stuck in the crack house and I can't get out. Because when I get stuck, I sit in one chair. And it's not like this one. It's not. It don't have no cushion in it, you know. I'll be stuck in that one spot for 5 days. I don't get up to go to the bathroom. I don't get up to drink no water, drink no juice, drink no Kool-Aid, drink no soda. I don't get up to get nothing to eat. And I remember one time, whew, and I might be back and forth, but it's okay, because I'm allowing God to use me. I remember being in the crack house, and I remember sitting down, and it wasn't a sofa because there was no cushions there. It was a board. And I remember sitting there for days, not getting up, not using the bathroom, not drinking no water, just using, right? When I did get up, my rump was raw from sitting on that board all that time. But I remember sitting there, I was looking at my legs. And see, when I use, because I don't drink no water and because I don't eat nothing for 5, 6, 7, 8 days at a time, I mean, I don't eat anything. No salad, no lettuce, not a tomato. You know what I'm saying? I don't eat mayonnaise. I mean, I don't eat bread. I don't eat at all. So I could watch myself lose weight while I was sitting there. I remember looking down at my thighs and I say, Lord, I need to get up. But I couldn't. So now my clean date is November 11th, 2003. So now that I've been clean for a few minutes, and my weight is kind of up and down. You know, I gained a little bit of weight now. I get maybe to 165 pounds. That's as big as I've ever been in my life, right? And then I'll lose weight again. But because I was so little when I was using, if I see myself losing weight, I'll start to sense something is going on, and so I need to find something to eat. You know what I'm saying? I'm paranoid when I start losing weight. If I could lose this right here, that'd be all right. But I don't lose just that. You know what I'm saying? Thank God for his grace and his mercy that he even thought that he loved me enough to save me. It was only because of him that I stand here today. So I thank him. When I first got my year clean, matter of fact, I had 7 months clean because I had made a decision I wasn't going to use no more. I wasn't going to use no more because nobody treats me the way I think they supposed to treat me. But I remember now that I don't need nobody to treat me good because I know how to treat my own self good. But I do know how when you are treating me wrong. I remember when I made the decision that I wasn't going to use anymore. I had 7 months clean. I was in the Oxford House. And I left the Oxford House, and I had gotten a job because I was at my mom's house at the beginning. I'm going to share this Somebody got to tell me what time it is, because I don't know. I'll just keep on going. So I was at a Oxford House, and so I had gotten a job. But before I went to the Oxford House, I was staying with my mom. And so my mom, I love her very much. You know, we were the type of people that we talk on the phone 3 and 4 times a day. So I was staying at her house, and I remember going into her bedroom and getting on my knees and praying. And I talked to God like I'm talking to y'all. And I say, Lord, I need a job. This is what I said. This was my prayer. I say, I need a job. I said, I need to get out of Lily Mae's house, because when she get tired and she want her space back, she gonna put me out. And when I got up from the prayer and I went out in the living room where my mom was sitting, she just looked at me and she said, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm gonna be working Monday. She said, how you know? I said, because God told me. She said, She said, he don't never give you what you need when you want it. And I kind of looked at her because, you know, I was raised in the church, and because she took me and my grandma. So I couldn't fathom the words that she was just saying to me. So I said to her, I don't know the God you serve, but my God said I'm going to be working Monday. I was working Monday through a temporary agency. And the job that I got, I worked there 5 months, and they hired me permanently, right? So I had went to the Oxford House and did the little, you know, they kind of interview you. And they accepted me, but at the time I didn't have a job, so they told me that, you know, they'll give me a few weeks to get a job, and I just need to pay for 2 weeks to hold the bed. So I went in the meeting, and I shared with a young lady, and so she gave me the $200 that I needed to hold the bed. So I took the money to the Oxford House, and 2 weeks later I was working. So I had the money to pay the rest of the time that I was there. But I left that Oxford House, and I moved back with my mom because I had gotten an apartment. And this was the first time that I had an apartment on my own, being clean. So I was excited to get the keys to the apartment. I was excited to go and buy a broom and a mop and a dustpan, you know, and stuff to clean the apartment up, right? And I remember that I was in a meeting, right? And my mother had passed. Because what had happened was that when I moved from the Oxford House and I moved back to my mom's house, it was on a Saturday. My mom died Sunday morning, right? And so I knew something was wrong, because that night she slept in her bed. And usually she always let me sleep in her bed, right? And so I didn't say anything, because she got up and she went in the room and she got in her bed. And so I kind of looked at her and I said, Mom, are you okay? And she looked at me and she said, yeah. And I knew something was wrong, but she wasn't telling me. You know, she was like rubbing her legs, you know. And I stayed there with her because someone had called me, asked me if I want to go hang out and go to a dance. But for some reason, I stayed there with my mom. And she called my name. I heard her say, Sheila. But I don't know if I got up when she called me the first time or not. And all of a sudden, I remember jumping up and going in the room. And she was in and so I went in the room and I called 911. And so they told me to give her CPR. That's the hardest thing I've ever done, and not only because it was my mom. Giving CPR is hard. It's a hard job for somebody to do by themselves. You know what I'm saying? You need a person so you can switch up. You know, my mom passed. I had 7 months clean. I called my brothers, and so they gave me the responsibility to take care of everything. You know, and so I did that. but when I did not use because of that. See, when I first got to Narcotics Anonymous, I couldn't stay clean. I know she can really come get me. I was back and forth, you know, because I couldn't stay clean, but they kept saying, keep coming back, more will reveal. And I kept coming back and I kept raising my hand. And then one day I didn't have to raise my hand and say it. I used, you know. It was just something just happened. Something just changed, you know. And I knew it was nobody but God. When I didn't use the death of my mom, I knew right there that God that my grandmother talked about all of those years when I was a little girl, he was working in my life. And I could recognize that he was working in my life. So it's nothing that I cannot do. Because I know he got me. And all that nervous I was, I don't sound like I was nervous no more, do I? Thank you. He's been great to me. So what I've recognized that in my journey, in step 3, it talks about that life going to show up. I'm not perfect. Don't expect to be. I know I'm going to make mistakes. But what I know is that they say that you can change your day at any time. So if I make a mistake right here, by the time I get out that door, I can change what I've done and do something positive. You know what I'm saying? Is this my time? Okay. Because I keep on talking, all that. And I'm not going to call it fear. It's nervousness that I had when I first got up here. It's gone. It's gone now. But I love God because I know he got my back. And I know he loved me unconditionally. And if I can love somebody that I don't know unconditionally, then I'm doing something today. You know what I'm saying? I hope whatever I talked about today, that it has touched someone, it has changed somebody, or make somebody change their thinking. And this is for the newcomer. When I got here, I wanted to stop using. And what I was told is to keep coming back. And so I just kept coming back. I didn't know what was going to be revealed, but I continued to come back because when I came to meetings and everybody out there that I saw, they didn't look like they was using. And so that's what I wanted. So I continued to keep coming back. And so I continued to come back no matter how much time that I have. I continue to come back because this is where my family is. I love you. I'm Sheila. I'm blessed with the gift of recovery, and I'll keep coming back. Thank you.